Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook at JBT Podcast and give us a like, review on iTunes. Now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, hello, everyone, all across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Musing, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.5 on this Monday, Jack. Bit weird. Monday, yes. the 21st of November. and today with me we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Emanuel. How are we, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing better than you, Nicholas. I'm sure of that. I'm a bit cold, but, you know, I'm not probably as hot as you and your fevering nature that's happening to you right now.
Oh, I've been a mixture of hot and cold for about two weeks now. It has not been pleasant.
You're like Katy Perry.
I'm currently very sticky and sweaty and, yeah, fun times.
Let's not talk about this. Let's talk about other things, please.
I'm sticky because I'm sick, Jack. Come on, get your head out of the gutter.
Hashtag Nick is sick.
Yeah, there are so many better hashtags you could have done, mate. I mean, you got to up your hashtag game.
Like,
hashtag Nick is sick. It's just like, you could have done sick Busink. Come on, mate. Nick Busink. Yeah?
Oh my God, that's both amazing. Yeah? How did I not think of them?
Mate, you need to get your hashtag game... Hashtag game up.
We shouldn't do. Are we going to count them this episode? Let's do a count.
We have already hit about five. I think we should do a count. Probably at a different stage. I reckon.
All right. Next episode, and you guys, we might have a count of it like after the episode's done. We'll see how we go.
It's going to be quite alarming to see how many hashtags we actually do in a single episode. We're going to have to cut back.
We should just call it. We'll call the episode hashtag.
Yeah, no, that'll work. Oh, so how's London life, Jack?
It is quite swell, Nicholas. It's, you know, it's autumn over here. The teaching isn't too bad. The kids are a bit shitty, but, you know.
Yeah, but
I don't mind it.
But mate, don't you teach PE?
No, I teach primary school, Nick. Like it's a
you
worthwhile
teach below
word
PE.
Job. No, I hate you, Nicholas. I just hate you and your soul. Because I know what's coming from this.
Those
do
who can't
say
do,
line, Nicholas?
Teach. And those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Teach Jim. Yes.
From the greatest movie of all time. Second greatest movie of all time. Of course, Space Jam being the top one.
Hashtag School of Rock. There's another hashtag.
Just add that to the... Add that to the list.
Add it to the list. Should we talk about basketball, mate?
Yeah, I think it's about time we got onto that. All right. What's breaking news in the NBA world, Jackie? Well, apparently, there's been the rumor mill has been run wild for a bit with some potential trades in Klay and DeMarcus Cousins, beautifully brought up. By Stelios on Facebook. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Stelios.
So, Jack, what do you make of these rumors? Klay Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins moving from their respective teams.
Yeah, I'll deal with the Klay Thompson first, Nick, because that was the surprising name for me. And from what I'm reading and from what I've heard from the starters and from other sources, it's literally fake news. Like, do you know where this rumor actually came from?
Sure you'll tell me.
The White Mamba. Brian Scalabrine's son started the rumor on Twitter saying he's like, ooh, Klay Thompson would look good in a Celtics uniform. And it's just like now it's sprung into this whole shit. And now like with horrible media and Facebook sites, it's just like, oh yeah, Klay Thompson is now going to be a Boston Celtic. So like that, let's just disregard that. That is not news. And it's just Klay always gets like, There's the whole thing when, you know, they were aiming to get Kevin Love and they were going to trade Klay Thompson. But the DeMarcus Cousins one, I think, has had some substance for years now. But via Bleacher Report Sporting News, yeah, quite a while since he's probably ever like landed at the Sacramento Kings. But NBA execs have predicted actually that Boogie could be traded as early as the first half of December. So in a matter of weeks before that trade deadline, which would be very interesting. Where do you think he might end up, Nicky boy? What do you think is a likely destination for Boogie if he's going to go anywhere?
Hey, Wizards will take him. Shit.
Wizards will take any. Wizards will take
anything
Justin
to
Hamilton.
Strengthen. Yes. Hey, Gortat's actually running fourth on rebounds this year. So we're not terrible off the glass, but always seem to be beaten in that area. It's a bit odd.
You just need good players, all right? So Boogie would be, you can't afford him anyway, but I think I think he'll probably, if he does land somewhere, I mean, the Celtics always get brought up into this conversation because they've got all the assets, they've got the cap space and stuff, and that'd be a nice big three with Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, and Boogie Cousins. Like, Boogie doesn't have to be the main guy. Him and Isaiah have a previous relationship from their time.
How do you play Horford and Cousins in the same team?
Well, they're both power forward centers. They're both hybrid players. I think they both can work quite easily together. They're very different players in the same sense. So, like, you can, depending on matchups, Boogie can beast it down low. Al Horford can space the floor, probably, and so can Boogie for that matter. But Al Horford's just a very versatile player. Like, he can pass, he can shoot. We saw what he did against, was it the Pacers or whoever, like, he got that winning bucket against and the block that won in the game in his first game back. I don't know if an all-star can be underrated, but he's one of the most perennially underrated centers and big men in the NBA just because he's not, like, as demonstrative as a Boogie or DeAndre Jordan and stuff, but Al Horford gets it done. And I think it'll work, mate. Yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, no. Sounds good. It's always good to get a bit of insight there from you, Jackie. Moving on from the trades, Draymond Green earlier this week called himself one of the best players in the NBA. What's your take on that, Jackie? Does it have some substance or is a bit of overinflating his self-worth?
I think, well, look, to play in the NBA, you've got to have that incredible sort of borderline arrogance to be a baller and to, like, go out every night and, like, think, like, I know I heard the other day that, like, via, I think it was Zach Lowe on one of his podcasts, and he was saying that at the Clippers, Austin Rivers genuinely believes that he's the best player on the team because when he goes out there, he doesn't listen to Chris Paul, he doesn't listen to Blake Griffin, he just does whatever the fuck he wants. And I'm like, But Draymond Green has a lot more of a point than Austin Rivers, but Draymond's, I just hate his personality, man. I can't stand him. Like, I would take LeBron, I would take Kawhi Leonard, I would take Anthony Davis, I would take so many other small forward, power forwards over Draymond Green. He has a unique skill set. And I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just probably a bit biased in the fact that obviously I dislike the Warriors, but I mainly dislike Draymond and his stupid donkey Shrek face.
fair call. I agree. I mean, there's a lot of players in the same position as him who are just, you know, everything Draymond can do, you know, Kawhi can do better. Maybe not as a rim protector. But Kawhi's a better defensive and offensive player. LeBron is about 10 times the rim protector that Draymond is. So it's, I mean, him saying, obviously, it's like you said, you have to have that arrogance. NBA is, you know, to play in the top flight of basketball, you need to have that, you know, you need to have that arrogance that, you know, Russell Westbrook, I'm the greatest player alive. James Harden last week said that, you know, he's the greatest player in the NBA, which is probably closer to the factual than Draymond Green. But I think that kind of inflates his villain status as well. Draymond Green, forcing the haters to hate him a little bit more.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree, but it's his personality, and that's why people who love Draymond love him because, you know, he's outspoken. He's not one of those guys who minces his words. But What about Greg Oden changing tune a little bit, Nicky boy? There was a bit of news around him this week. What was the news there?
Earlier this week, he called himself, which is quite sad. Like, it's always... It's one thing to have something said about you, but he has said this himself. He called himself the biggest bust in the NBA. And, you know, what do you think of that, Jackie?
I disagree. The starters discussed this, and I completely agree with what they were saying. They were just saying, to be a bust, you actually have to get out on the floor consistently and then not perform. Whereas Greg Oden just never got out on the floor. His body just unfortunately failed him, because he could have been, who knows what he could have been. You know, he was the number one pick ahead of Kevin Durant. So, like, that's saying something, that people valued him over Kevin Durant. It's more of a, like you were saying earlier, mate, it's more of a sad story. And I mean, I don't want to speak about sad stuff. I like Greg Oden, and I hope I think he's doing some study now at university and stuff. And, you know, I hope he has a, whatever life he has with basketball, without basketball, good luck to the lad.
It's just quite sad that, you know, take a empathetic view, and, you know, you've come in from college as a first round draft pick, or first draft pick, the number one pick. You get injured, then you get injured again and again, and the years go by. And for him to come out and actually say this, like, how much must he hate himself?
Yeah,
it's
sad. I mean, I think this is the worst thing about sport, Nick. I don't know about you. For me, the worst thing about sport is injuries. I hate them. Like, and that's one of the thing that's been really good this year with the NBA. There hasn't been many injuries to key players yet. So we've still got our Russell Westbrooks, we've got James Harden, Kevin Durant, all those players are out there. I mean, who knows what Derrick Rose could have been without those 40 billion knee injuries.
Yeah.
He was taking over LeBron to be the next big thing. And I mean, he's still a very serviceable player in the NBA, but he's just, his body doesn't let him be the dominant force. Injuries are, I mean, even for us, I mean, I've injured you plenty of times when we play basketball.
And yeah, mate.
It's not fun.
One thing of about injuring myself, but when you injure me, bloody hell.
Do you want to tell him the story?
He's trying to get me off the court. He's afraid of my competition.
Oh, shut up. I would destroy you.
Can't hack it,
I elbowed you in the face.
Cannot hack it.
And broke your nose, and I thought your mom was going to kill me. I still do.
To be a bust, you need to actually play. And he hasn't. He didn't play enough to actually warrant being a legitimate failure. You know.
Yeah, and that, I agree.
Yeah. All right. Last bit here before we take a break. If we look down at the season so far, one name has really impressed me, Jack. And obviously it comes from the Lakers, the ever-impressive Lakers. And it's Sixth Man of the Year. You know, their bench is leading the competition in scoring. And it's Lou Williams. What's your take on Lou Williams as Sixth Man of the Year?
Lou Will. Well, he has won the award before, so he's always around that mark. And I think in the new system with Luke Walton, he's just balling. And we had this chat the other day about how good the Lakers bench is. Like, they're all, and plus they're all so young, apart from probably Lou Will and Swaggy P and stuff. But Lou Will, I think, with Jamal Crawford, until they both retire, they're always going to be around that mark because they're just perfect bench players. Like, they're amazing bench players. Manu Ginobili, in a similar sense, they're just those guys that are always going to be there. But, you know, who knows? It's very early in the season, mate, and the fact that you've already called a sixth out of the year is premature.
I'm all in on this Lakers bench. Jordan Clarkson and Lou Williams... duo off the bench. Jordan Clarkson's also another candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like you're riding the Lakers bandwagon more than Adrian Formato, it sounds like.
No, I like what the... ever since, you know, Larry Nance's dunk on David West, I've just, I was so emphatic.
The dunk contest 2016. It was huge. But another name I'll chuck in there for you, Nick, because I'm doing a little bit of research as we speak about candidates for the Sixth Man of the Year. Will Barton from the Denver Nuggets. He's always around the mark. He's a very high scorer. He provides great energy off the bench. Eric, who's now at the Houston Rockets. There's all these players. You know, Jamal's definitely always there. He scores like there's no other.
Jamal's been struggling a bit this season, though. Like, the Clippers bench itself.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'd put Spates ahead of him in terms of a Sixth Man of the Year.
Actually, no, that's a good point. Well, no, Spates could be in that conversation.
Yeah.
Mo Buckets, you know, mate. Who knows, mate? You know, Enes Kanter as well.
Yeah,
he's always around the mark. Yep. He always gets points off the bench.
It's these people who are on the bench who can start. They're just on the bench to strengthen the second unit. These are the people
I think a Sixth Man. Yeah, and I think a Sixth Man is basically just a flat out scorer. Will Barton scores, Enes Kanter scores, Jamal Crawford scores, Lou Will, as Drake likes to call him, he flat out scores.
Yeah,
like these guys just know how to get points in their allotted time, and just because they're like coming off the bench, they still play their 25 to 30 minutes occasionally, anywhere from that 15 to 30 mark, and in those minutes. You know, they probably might stay out for the clutch moments. It depends. But, yeah, sixth out of the year, early days, mate. Early days.
Yeah, still a long season ahead. All right, with that, we'll take a break here. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at JBT Podcast. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Getting right into it, Jackie. With some discussion points here. One of them comes from a text message, actually, that I received from a mate of mine, saying, and I quote, Davis has had an unbelievable start to the season, and it could be argued that he is one of the most valuable players in the league. Last week, which was a few weeks ago now, Jack said that he should stay at the Pelicans and they will build around him. How will they do that, considering their small market and what do they need? And if they can't, who trades for Davis? And what would they need to offer? Good question there. It comes from Kieran. So thanks for that one, mate. Now, me being a completely inept... with the trade period, I put this one to you, Jack.
I'm the expert, Nick. Let me just talk for a bit. Let me hear my own voice, because no one wants to hear you speak about things you don't know about, mate. This is my podcast. As much as it's called ABT, the J should stand for Jack's Ball Things. but in a serious thing, Kieran, great question, by the way, mate. Awesome question. So if anyone else has some awesome questions and texts or whatever, we're going to be chatting about them throughout the week. So send them through. Like, you might become, you know, part of the podcast. So in terms of, let me address one part of the question. Davis will not be traded. That's just not going to happen. He is locked into this team. He's on a long-term contract. He's a franchise player. There is no way New Orleans trades him. Like, unless something gargantuanly unexpected happens, it's just not going to happen. What I can explain, though, is what they need to build around him. So right now, the Pelicans have been going a little bit better with the return of Jrue Holiday. The point guard who's been out for a little while because he's been taking care of his sick wife. And his presence has automatically elevated that team to somewhat relevance. So they just need, to put it bluntly, they just need good players. Jrue Holiday, very good player. Not an amazing player. Not one of the best point guards in the league. But he is a very, 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 very serviceable, very good point guard. And he helps Anthony Davis, you know. Point guard, pale forward, center. That's a very integral relationship in any team. So it takes the offensive workload off of Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis leads a lot of shooters around him as well. He's quite a good passer. He's quite a good defensive player. He's very good around the post. So almost like a, you know, in the modern game. And I think Anthony Davis's range has improved as a shooter. But to put it bluntly, they need just good players, Kieran. That's it, mate. Right now, their roster is with, you know, my boys, the Nets, and probably your boys as well, Nick, the Wizards, one of the least inspiring rosters in the NBA. And whether that means they need to make some moves to get just some better quality players, whether that's through the D-League, whether that's through the EuroLeague or Chinese League. They just need someone to help him out because Anthony Davis can't do this all year. It's a bit like, you know, OKC with Russell Westbrook. The burden is being left to literally just him. But whereas Russell Westbrook has Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo, Enes Kanter, Anthony Davis has Jrue Holiday, and I can't name anyone else. Ryan Anderson last year, but not this year because he's at the Houston Rockets. Ryan Anderson was a very, very good offensive force for the New Orleans Pelicans last year. But, yeah, to put it bluntly, Kieran, they need good, good players. Good shooters would be nice. But, you know, they've got a decent point guard now, so, you know, maybe a serviceable shooting guard, a serviceable small forward, and someone better than Omar Asik at center because he's quite poor, to put it bluntly. He's like a poor man's version of Timofey Mozgov, let's put it that way. But yeah, hopefully I haven't spent too long talking about that, Nicholas. People might get bored of my analytical side because they're used to hearing me just rip into you about shit.
Yeah, I mean, I can see... you know, how the Rockets strengthened themselves this season by putting shooters around Harden and Capella. I feel that a similar option would be very viable for the Pelicans because I agree.
Let me stop you there, though, Nicky. One thing that the Houston Rockets do have now is... They have stability in terms of their front office. They have a very a well-trained, well-experienced coach in Mike D'Antoni who knows this 3-and-D system. He's running a system around James Harden about, you know, just surround this guy with shooters. And, like, you just pass him, shoot. Whereas, I don't even know the name of the New Orleans Pelicans coach, but it's almost in a similar sense with what's happening with Boogie. He's just never had a coach with him. Anthony Davis has had probably some good coaches in his time, but he's never been able to sort of develop that sort of bond where, like, say, you know, Phil Jackson with Michael Jordan and Kobe, Pop with Tim Duncan. He needs a coach because he's got the talent. He just needs someone to implement a system that works for him. So then, you know, good coaching, not just, you know, a head coach, but, you know, good assistant coaches. And I think they're going to be fine. When you've got a player like Anthony Davis on your team, it's a star-driven league, the NBA, especially these days, you hold on to that shit. Don't not ever trade someone like Anthony Davis. That'll be just sacrosanct.
Yeah, you trade Davis and you're essentially saying goodbye to, you know, you're exploding your current franchise to try and make a new one.
It's like, I can't compare it to the Philadelphia 76ers because they never really had anything. They had Jrue Holiday, they had Andre Iguodala, they had Andrew Bynum, and they traded all those guys. But those guys weren't as Anthony Davis is. Anthony Davis is a future Hall of Famer already, an MVP contender, even though he won't get votes because his team sucks and they're not going to win enough games.
Yeah.
But trading LeBron James or Russell Westbrook or James Harden, he's that good and he's that important to the organization that it's just like, okay, well, then do you want to sell any jerseys? Do you want to see anyone go to your games? Because he's the only reason that people are going to a New Orleans Pelicans game at the Smoothie Center. Is it the Smoothie Center over in New Orleans?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be selling many smoothies.
The crazy names that these stadiums have, it's hard to keep track. The Quicken Loans Arena.
All the sponsors.
Come on, mate.
Hashtag Barclays Center, BC. MSG is the better. But yeah, if you want to sell smoothies, you've got to keep Anthony Davis. So hope that answers your question, Kieran. And if it does, you know, give us some feedback on Facebook or hit Nick up with another text. And hopefully I answered your question and, you know, Nick chimed in with his 2 cents or
yeah,
like 1 cent.
Did my little bit. My role here is more to agree with Jack. Ah, yes, very insightful. Yes, please go on. Yes. No, but if I put in another 2 cents, they do need shooters. They're 25th in the league in offensive rating, and this is with a guy who's putting up, you know, who's second in the league in scoring. Puts up, you know, 32 points a game. They just need someone else, like even an efficient shooter. You know, someone like a pure shooter, like a Korver or something.
Yeah,
Korver's super old.
No, I get what you're saying, Nick. But I think, like I said earlier, Drew Holiday is really going to help. He's not going to make them a finals contender by any stretch. But having your second best player out on the floor, you know, definitely helps. It'd be like, you know, you guys without Beal.
We already had that this season.
So, exactly. And you've had that for the past however long he's been in the league. But, yeah. Should we move on, mate? We've spoken.
Yeah, we've touched on this text message for a while now. But, it was a good question. I think it deserved a bit of depth.
Definitely.
Anyway, moving on. We talked about some contenders and pretenders. Oh, jeez. Contenders and pretenders.
Contenders.
Last week. Now we're gonna move on to some teams that seem to have been forgotten. You know, we talked about, you know, the Bulls and their superstar, obviously the Warriors, the Spurs. But, you know, going a bit left wing here, we'll talk about some of these forgotten teams. We'll start with the 76ers. For me, these guys have been super impressive. They're 3-10 at the moment, which isn't, you know, amazing, but it's probably expected from this bunch of lads.
I don't think yet. Yeah, I don't think the win-loss record matters for these guys, Nick. I think the only thing that matters with these guys is Joel Embiid. if they can keep that guy healthy, then you know, they're selling tickets now. Like, they're a relevant organization in the league for the past 2-3 seasons. They were just like, oh, yeah, the 76ers. They're that D-League team that everyone plays on every second night or whatever. Where, yeah, the 76ers have some relevance now. And, you know, hashtag trust the process. And the process is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed it in myself. I've been, when I've been flicking through the League Pass teams, I've been seeing myself watching the 76ers because it's fascinating to see this young team, to actually see Joel Embiid on the court. He looks like a seasoned player, and it's not fair for the other rookies, because Rookie of the Year is pretty it's still early, but it is solidified. I mean, no other rookie is even close to doing what he's doing on the court.
No, and I agree. And the only thing that's going to stop Joel Embiid from winning it is probably an injury. And then, you know, maybe my boy Chris Gunn can get some minutes at the Timberwolves and put something up, but he's been pretty poor. But should we move on? Let's move on to another team, mate. Denver Nuggets. I've liked their start to this season. They're always around the mark, and I expect them to push for an 8th seed and be around that mark. But they've been, you know, a bit up and down. It's still early days, but when you've got Emmanuel Mudiay, has been quite impressive. I've been impressed with his steps. I didn't think he would take that next level second step. But, you know, Will Barton, Josef Nurkic, they've got some good young talent on their team. And, you know, with the Suns, with the Sixers, with the Wolves, these guys are, you know, I reckon they're, if I was to put them in a contender or a pretender, I think they're a contender, but not for a contender for the title. But I think they could contend for that 6th to 8th seed. They're just not banking enough wins right now at this stage.
No,
they're
going to get some more wins on the board. I wouldn't quite put them at that stage yet. But possibly next year. They just haven't been super impressive. And the gulf between 9th and 10th in the West is, like, at the moment, it's pretty big. 9th is 500.
Well, okay, Nick.
10th is, 33%. So the gulf there is growing.
Let me stop you right there.
And I don't think that they're going to make that 8th. I don't think they'll break the 8th. If you look at the other teams that are currently in the top 8.
Let me pose it to you then, Nicholas. Who's more likely to make the top eight? Denver Nuggets or the LA Lakers?
See, I said this last time. I'd say the Lakers are more likely to make it than.
Right.
Yeah, they have been impressive, very impressive.
Yeah, but you're basing it off like 10, 15 games.
Well, that's what
and
I
in
have.
A long
that,
season.
That is the sample size that I have, and so yeah, far the Lakers have been impressive. They seem you know, the Jazz currently are ninth. I think that they'll make I think that they'll make the top eight.
Yeah, because but, they've had injuries, Nick. That's why they will make it. The Denver Nuggets, I think, are much more of a chance. I think they just need
more
to
so
start
than the Lakers
winning.
And the Jazz.
Not more than the Jazz, but more than the Lakers. Way more than the Lakers. They've got more experience. I don't know if they've got more experience. I just like their roster more. I like the way they play. I think it's what they're doing is more sustainable, whereas the Lakers are relying on a really young core and all this crazy ass 3-point shooting, and that's not going to last. That's going to taper off. Whereas I think what the Denver Nuggets do is a bit more sustainable, and it's going to hold them in good stead for come game 82 when it really counts. I would eat your face if the LA Lakers win more games than the Denver Nuggets this season for like the 18th time.
Yeah,
how many?
I see what you mean in that, you know, the Lakers do seem to play a unsustainable type of game. You know, the shooting may potentially dry up. I don't know. They've just
won potentially.
Just that I'm a firm believer in, you know, bench. Your bench seems to help you a lot in the regular season. And they can rely so heavily on their bench to win them games.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that they'll go far in the regular season.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah,
they don't quite have
Who else we got, mate?
I've lost my... there it is. The Phoenix Suns. another team who are struggling. You know, they're 4-10. And they've lost some pretty big... Like, they've been winning a lot of games and just capitulating in the fourth quarter.
They've been throwing away games.
Being a young team that they are, it's understandable. You see the Timberwolves doing the same thing. But what are your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, I like the Suns. What they're doing is what I expected. I think Devin Booker's...
I think we've encountered some technical problems. Jackie, you there, mate?
Yes, sorry, bud. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. All right, continue.
Sorry, mate. The Suns, I think, are more of a... I like them. Like, I like Devin Booker. He's balling. He's... You know, with Porzingis, he's probably the best sophomore so far this year, and Jabari Parker as well.
Yep.
But, you know, we're going to have to trust the process with the Suns as well, because I don't know. They're not going to be a contender at all. Maybe not even next year or the year after. It's just interesting to see where they go. And, I mean, Phoenix Suns, they've got one of the nicest NBA jerseys of all time.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'll always keep an eye out on them.
specifically for the jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Detroit Pistons, obviously one of the best centers in the league at that organization. But what do you got, mate?
All right. Yeah, Andre Drummond is beast, and he's a perennial 2020 guy. He's always around that mark, similar to Hassan Whiteside, but a better defensive player and a worse free throw shooter. But I think the thing that's really, really hurting them, Nick, is the absence of their star point guard, Reggie Jackson. They're just missing his offense. They're just missing. He's probably their best player with Andre Drummond. I'd say he's as good. Like, he's as important to that team. Like, when you lose your starting point guard and someone as good as him, it takes them from being, say, a top eight contender to being, you know, a bottom dweller, which they probably currently are. Not sure where they're standing right now, but if they can get Reggie Jackson back sooner rather than later, then yeah, I could be eating my words and eating your face for the ninth time now, I think. But we'll see.
Mate, I've got a lot of faces to grow. Let's just say that.
Hashtag face off.
But yeah, Drummond averaging about 14 rebounds a game. It's just, it's underrated, I think. When you've got a player that can rebound like that. I mean, I was watching Wizards v Heat. I think it was a few days ago now, and
yep.
Whiteside just bossed us around in the paint. He got them so many second chance points. It was just not fair, you know. And it's, you know, he's averaging about over three offensive rebounds a game. You know, that's the potential of, if we're saying four a game, that's the potential of, you know, at least 8 points off a second chance.
Yeah, 8 to 10, something like that.
And yeah, I just think that rebounding is such a underrated skill in this game, considering, you know, it's an age of shooters and
3 point. Yeah.
Bigs are learning to shoot now. But I think players like Hassan right Whiteside and that rebounding skill is underappreciated.
Yeah, it is. But I was listening to, again, Zach Lowe's most recent podcast, and he was speaking to Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN. And they were speaking about the age of small ball and how small ball is literally the number one thing right now. And they were saying how, you know, the death lineup of the old Warriors with Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green at the center and stuff, and how, like, there's talk that, you know, Paul George could play at center and LeBron James plays at center.
Mm.
And I'm like, and they're like, why do you need a center? And the key thing that they said was, unless you can rebound and pass, there is no point in, like, a traditional center these days. Because if you're posting up, you're wasting time in the shot clock. You're not getting a quality shot off. And whereas if you can pass and you've got, you know, good at basketball IQ, say like an Anthony Davis or a DeMarcus Cousins, then that's what's valuable. Whereas if you're like, I guess Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard's been quite good for the Atlanta Hawks, but Dwight Howard is a rare breed in the NBA these days.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Speaking of Dwight, his old hunting ground of the Orlando Magic. I don't think we've even mentioned these guys on our five episodes, have we, Nick?
No, I don't think so. I think we had them on our list previously. As I think you pegged them as the worst team in the NBA. So that was a few weeks ago. Yep. Now, how's that looking?
I'll stand by it. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, I don't know how you can have Serge Ibaka, Bismack Biyombo, Alfred Payton. Like, I don't know what they're actually doing. Like, what are they trying? Like, I don't see any direction. Like, what's the direction?
They're not bad players, though. You think of the worst team in the NBA with Ibaka, which is the and Sixers. Payton, and, you know, that's they're not bad players.
No, I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that they're bad players. But, like, okay, the 76ers are the worst team in the NBA. That's, you know, and New Orleans, I guess, and the Phoenix Suns. But unlike those three teams, the Orlando Magic don't really have outstanding young talent. Alfred Payton's a very good player. Bismack Biyombo is apparently meant to be 24, but, you know, his birth certificate apparently says that he's like 45. Not really, but, like, and Cedric is not a young man, but he's not an old man either. It's just odd. Like, I don't know. Are they trying to build this organization around Vujicic, or are they trying to build it around Ibaka? They're trying to build it around Bismack Biyombo. They don't have a star. They've got a lot of pretty good players, very good players. Like, I think Serge Ibaka, you know, he had a great game this week against his old team, the OKC, but he's not a superstar. Like, you know, every team needs a superstar. So I just don't rate them, mate. That's just my personal opinion. And I'm sure plenty of probably people would actually agree with me. If you don't, well, you're wrong, and Nick is always wrong. So let's move on to my boys, hashtag Nets Nation. And I mean, we'll probably spend a bit too much time, so maybe we'll speak about these guys and then move on to something else. But my boys, the Nets Nation. They're in a similar. I put them in a similar category, Nick. I don't know about you. I put them with the Sixers, the Suns, and stuff. In the fact that we know what we're going to get from the Nets, but unlike what's been happening the past few years, the Nets are actually an exciting team to watch, and they're actually bringing some relevance back to Brooklyn. Whereas the past few years, we've just been like almost unwatchable, and it's just like, oh yeah, it's New York's town. Whereas the Nets now, it's like, oh. Linsanity. Oh, Brook Lopez is doing some stuff. Oh, Kenny Atkinson, for me, is, I'm biased, but he's a coach of the year right now because he's got this whole team buying in. I mean, he's turned Brook Lopez into the new Ray Allen. He's the new Splash Brother. Hashtag Brolo for the 3-point contest. but I don't know about you, mate. I love my Nets and I think they're doing well, even though about a few hours to go, they lost to the Highways, but I think that's basically because we don't have a point guard right now and we desperately need Jeremy Lin to come back, and he just makes us so much better. Him and Brook Lopez, they just make the team so much better, and he's our best player with Brook Lopez. So whenever you lose your best player, I mean you'd know.
You've definitely turned a corner this year. I couldn't watch the Nets last year. It was just you looked lost on the court last year. Like, you didn't know what to do. You didn't know what your plays were. But now it seems that, you know, Kenny Atkinson has actually done something, it would seem.
He's a good general
for your organization. And you've got, Jeremy Lin. Brooklyn.
Yeah. Linsanity. Brooklyn. The best thing to happen to me since I'm gone for the Nets. Linsanity 2.0. Nicky Boy, team of the week time. Who you got, mate? I'm wondering.
All right. This week comes again from the Clippers. The Grizzlies against the Clippers coming into the Staples Center and beating the hottest team in the league right now, 111-107. It was a statement by Grizz Nation, and I think this win is proof that they're still going to be around the mark come playoff time, and they've if they've got Mike Conley, and that's the key, isn't it? Mike Conley was out last playoffs and they struggled, but with Gasol and hopefully Parsons at full health, they'll I think they'll push this playoffs.
Definitely.
So this game was a big statement by them.
Definitely, mate.
All right.
Let me stop you right there.
With that, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. And we're back with JBT Podcast. And we're going to start here with Nick's picks.
Nick's picks. Don't do Nick's that.
Please,
picks.
God. Nick's we discussed this, Jack. Featuring don't
the
sing.
The J-Pod. Nick's picks featuring J-Pod. That's not bad. I like that.
For those that are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week just gone. We throw in some honorable mentions in there because the week is long. And there are a lot of games, and it's hard to pick just one player per position. All right, we'll start off with the point guard position here. We had Chris Paul, some honorable mentions first. We had some Chris Paul against the Nets, 21 points, 9 assists, 5 steals in 25 minutes. And again, against MVP. The Kings, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. Just shy of a triple-double there. And 3 steals. So he's running that Clippers team like a well-oiled machine there, Jack.
Let me quickly jump in. Chris Paul, he should be an MVP contender. Just putting it out there. Like, he's killing it.
Yeah, that's not so far-fetched. But the true MVP contender, Harden, against the 76ers, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists in 33 minutes, 60%. And 50% from the field and 3-point land, respectively. And against the Blazers as well, he had a triple double with 1.5 minutes left in the third.
Let me stop you right there. Again, you have Harden again as a point guard. Have you again conceded that James Harden is a point guard?
Well, you know, in this modern game, he's a point shooting guard. He's a guard. Can I just say that? He's a guard.
No, he's a point guard. Say he's a point
guard. Shut up, Jack.
Nick.
He can play both. He can play center if he wants to. He's the greatest player in the league. Jesus. Anyway, continuing on, D'Angelo Russell, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists in 31 minutes. So he's doing work for the LA Lakers there. Isaiah Thomas, 30 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists in their win against the Mavs. And Mike Conley, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. So just shy of a, five rebounds, 2 assists off a triple-double. It's always nice. And 3 steals in their impressive win over the Clippers that we've talked about before. But taking the cake this week at the point guard is Russell Westbrook. Another one in MVP contention. Yeah, a casual 40-point triple-double in their loss to the Magic. It's quite sad. You know, you go to 41 points, 12 rebounds, 16 assists in a loss. Against
the
Magic.
He's got 4 for the season now. He's got 4 for the season. That's a poor loss, yeah.
It's sad.
But, you know, he's got 4 for the season. So he's almost in that 35 mark that we were talking about.
Yeah. He's got 4 triple-doubles for the season. He had he was two assists shy against the Pistons. 33 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. And against Houston as well, 30 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, including that game-winning posterizing dunk. The dunk scene NBA around the world. So,
could anyone actually do that, Nick, in the NBA? Like, do a left-handed poster dunk at that speed?
He's a freak, mate.
No. He's a freak. Yeah, he's an absolute freak.
So congratulations to Russell Westbrook there for taking the coveted point guard position for Knicks picks. I'm sure he will hang that up on his wall.
MVP.
All right, moving on to shooting guard. We had Redick against the Grizzlies, 29 points in 30 minutes, including 7 threes, hitting over 58%, doing just what Redick does from three-point land.
JJ.
We had Oladipo against the Rockets, 29 points, 10 rebounds.
Must have. The dips.
Dips.
I thought you hated that nickname.
I do. It's the dips. It's stupid as shit, but get around it.
Get around
it. Shooting 12 from 18 from the field and 5 from 7 from 3. Easily his most impressive shooting performance this year.
Good game, dips.
Moving on. In the honorable mentions, Bojan Bogdanovic against the Lakers. He had 29 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals as well in 30 minutes. So that's impressive.
That's actually.
Nicholas Batum as well in their impressive win over the Hawks. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And
Nick,
Bradley.
Let me stop you right there.
Yep.
Nicholas Batum. He has the same initials as you. NB.
NB,
Nicholas Batum.
Yes, you're an insightful man. Shut up, Jack.
I am. Sorry.
And Bradley Beal scoring 34 points in their loss.
I've got a good nickname for Bradley Beal. I've got a Bradley, like, B2. Like, you know, from Bananas in Pyjamas, because he's got 2 B's in his name.
And taking the shooting guard position is Andrew Wiggins, scoring a monstrous 47 points. As well as 4 rebounds, 3 assists in the Wolves' demolition over that Lakers team. He also had 30 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal in their win over the 76ers. And it's fair to say, Jack, that he seems to be shaping up to be the next Jimmy Butler under Tom Thibodeau.
He is, but you were wrong again. He had 35 points, Nicholas.
30 points. Sorry. What did I say?
Yeah. You said 30, you dickhead.
My bad. I'm shortchanging him 5 points. And if I'm not wrong, that 76ers was a previous career best. So he had 2 career bests this week.
Yeah. He's having career nights already. But he had a horrible game against the Grizzlies the other night.
Yes,
so he's
did.
Come back down.
I think he scored 7 points. So
yeah, he was horrible.
Yeah.
But he's still our fitting guard of the week.
But yeah. Yeah, well, that impressive performance, 47 points, that's going to get you shooting guard of the week. And again, he's going to listen to this podcast and be like, damn, I got Nick's picks.
He got wicked with it.
He loves it. Small forward, moving on. Some honourable mentions. Kawhi Leonard, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists in their win against the Heat. Paul George, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals in their win against the Cavaliers. Unfortunately, LeBron was not playing that game to contest it.
PG-13.
But yeah, Paul George has had a difficult start to the season, but he's seems to be coming through all right.
Definitely.
These days.
Definitely.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 26.
Nick, say that again. Say that again.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is that right? That's right. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, but
come on, mate. Giannis, give me some credit. I got it right. 26 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 assists shy over that triple-double, 1 steal as well in their loss to the Hawks. And he has started this season like a house on fire. He's running that Bucks team really, really well. Love watching him on the court. And last honorable mention for the small forward, he had KD, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal in their away win against the Raptors, and him, you know, putting that memorable line, I don't give a damn about no Drake Nat.
Did you see why he said it, Nick, and how he said it? Did you see the video?
Yeah. Drake was heckling him as, oh, God. And the reporter brought it up. Drake, like, I don't give a damn about no Drake Nat.
And he just walks off.
Yeah, just walks away. Oh, God. See, I still like this. I still like the Warriors team. I don't know. But who?
They're not. Okay. Yeah.
Who's taken the small forward of the week for Knicks picks is the King, LeBron James, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists against the Hornets, after only 4 points in the first half. So it was a very, very impressive second half performance. And he also had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 14 assists, shooting over the 50-40 mark against the Raptors. So impressive stuff from LeBron there, taking the small forward of the week. And Jack, you've got the power forward and center.
I do, mate. Honorable mentions. We're going to Serge Ibaka. We were talking a little bit about him earlier. 31 points, a career high. 9 rebounds, 4 boards. No, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks, sorry, against his old team, the OKC, including that game-winning jumper, hashtag Serge Ibaka.
Ibaka.
Channing Frye against the Raptors, chipping in from the Cavs. 21 points, 19 minutes, hitting some big threes. Shooting 70% from the field and low-key 62% from three-point range.
Very nice.
They look good from three. K-Love against the Pacers. 27 points, 16 good from three-point land at 40%. The Porzingod, Heiser, there we go. You got your shout-out for the Porzingod. He has been balling lately. And that stank stare. Oh, my God. I think it was very hard not to give him the power forward of the week just because of that stank stare.
Just because of the stare.
That was, as Cleveland from Family Guy would say, that's nasty.
That's nasty.
But, yeah, against the Pistons, he had 35 points, 60% for the field, 13 of 22, a career high, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, chucking a steal in his 40 minutes. Monster game from him. And, you know, the Knicks need to make this guy their guy.
Yep. Get he is their franchise at the moment. So it's good to see him having games like this.
Absolutely. Kenneth Faried from the Denver Nuggets in the win against the Suns. 20 points, 15 rebounds, and all in 25 minutes. That's a heck of a performance from
a big double-double for 25 minutes.
Yeah, the manimal, mate. I love him. He's a very energetic player. But my power forward of the week, Nicky boy, in Knicks picks, Julius Randle. His performance, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, his second career triple-double in only 31 minutes.
Very nice.
You know, you can't say no to a triple-double, mate. No. You know, Russell Westbrook gets point guard of the week with his triple-double.
A 40-point triple-double. You're comparing the two there.
Okay, well, would you have someone else as the power forward of the week?
No. I trust your judgment, mate.
All right, thank you. Can you let me... Oh, I hate you interrupting me, ugly mom. So, moving on to the center. Hassan Whiteside versus the Hawks. No Howard, so there was no one really to contest. He's 25 rebounds and 10 rebounds. Oh, 25, yeah, 10 rebounds as well as 19 points. 12 points, 17 rebounds, 2 steals, and 7 blocks in their win over the Bucks. And the Bucks, sorry, 7 blocks. Dear Lord.
Crazy, yeah.
All in 29 minutes. Chaz will also be proud of that one. And another 18 board performance game against your lads, the Wiz.
Yeah.
This guy just gets eaten. He eats rebounds for breakfast.
Oh, it was depressing watching him.
Well, yeah, you deserve depression. You don't deserve happiness in your life, Nicholas. Pau Gasol, sorry, that
Jesus
was,
Christ.
Again, I'm in a mean mood, Nicholas. You've made me wait a day to do my podcast. But Pau Gasol, haven't spoken much about him this season. He had a 24-point, 9-rebound, 2-assist performance in 31 minutes in their win over the Kings. My boy Rolo against the Lakers in a loss, 30 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, including 4 3-pointers. He's just splashing it. Splish, splosh.
The new Ray Allen, as you say.
He's the splish-splash show with Brook Lopez. And, Nick, I added this guy in. Have you ever heard of this guy, Alan Williams of the Phoenix Suns? Do you know who he is?
Can't say I do.
Yeah, I was looking at the box scores as I do every day because, you know, we keep up with ball. Ball is life here at JBT. Alan Williams of the Phoenix Suns had a 15-15 game in their win against the Pacers. 15-15. That's, you know, you get an honorable mention for that, Alan Williams. Keep putting them numbers up. And
it's a good double-double.
Who knows? Good double-double. 15-15 game is amazing. Of course, Anthony Davis in there went over the Blazers, 38 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. And then he had 38 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks against the Hornets in
you
that OT
that
win.
You say so blasé. You know, 38 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. He is balling.
Yeah, the brow is unifying. An apt analogy? I don't know. Let's move on. Boogie is dancing around the court as well. He's always an honorable mention. 38 points, 13 rebounds for him, 7 assists, chucking 3 steals and a block against in their loss against the Clippers. He puts up the stats every night. Your boy, the process against the Suns, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks in only 20 minutes. Dear Lord. And 17 points and 4 rebounds in 7 minutes in that first quarter. So he set up that win.
That first quarter was so emphatic. He's on minutes restrictions, and yet he still manages to pull out, you know, 26.7 rebounds in 20 minutes. It's just a joy to watch.
Absolutely. Good to see some young talent down there in Philly. But my center of the week, drum roll please, Nicholas. Please give me a drum roll. That was the worst drum roll.
I'm sorry. I quite literally have a drum kit behind me, but
oh no, you should just like pause and you can listen to the drum kit. But he's not Pau Gasol, he's Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol against the Clippers, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 of 5 3-points from 3, including that match winning 3 and the old Vince McMahon McGregor power walk.
So dirty. If you were a Clippers fan, you'd be watching that and you're just like, you absolute prick.
But it was like such a... And it's becoming a trend in sports in general. Like I saw Odell Beckham Jr. doing it in the NFL. But I love it when, you know, we see our NBA players show a bit of emotion, whether it's, you know, Porzingis with a stank face or Marc Gasol with his nice little strut. And for those that haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Be on YouTube or one of the NBA pages. We might even chuck it up there if we get some requests.
Or, you know, Petrulia with his little boogie.
Oh, God. He hit a mid-range jumper.
Mid-range jumper and does, like, a little friggin' salsa dance.
That'd be like me hitting a layup and then just doing, like, the Porzingis stare. Like, it's just like, It's easy. Like a mid-range jumper, like Nick, you hit them with your eye closed. You've got a nice mid-range jumper. But moving on, mate, there's our Nick's picks, stat of the week, Nick's picks, J-Pod's picks. I might write a song for it for those that like the song.
Oh, you know,
give us
please
some love.
Don't. Make a jingle.
Give me some love, please. Please.
jingle. But yeah, we'll move on. Stat of the week. And my stat here comes from the Warriors team. Curry and KD are averaging over 27 points per game, shooting 50%. And, mate, you know, that's a good stat as it is. But the alarming thing,
it's very good.
You know, the alarming thing is why it made stat of the week. Never in NBA history has two people on the same team achieved this. Never.
Yeah.
We have had some amazing partnerships.
Yeah, like the one that immediately springs to mind is Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Like, they've never done that.
Obviously not. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, you've got, you know, Kobe and Shaq as well.
Kobe and Shaq, yeah. You've got D Wade and LeBron. You've got so many, but it is early days, mind you, but that is just an amazing stat. And it's proving that the Warriors are definitely back on track, that's for sure.
Yeah, a bit of a shaky start, but definitely good things happening there in the Bay. All right, Jack, we've been pretty ball-heavy for a while. What's your off-topic?
Yeah, Nicky boy, it's still slightly NBA-related. We like to have a bit of fun when I go off-topic. Jack's random topic of the week, hashtag JRT. How many hashtags is that now, Nick?
I believe it's about 7,000 for the show.
That's a lot of hashtags. I feel like we haven't done as many as normal. But
hashtag, that's a lot of hashtags.
You make me laugh, Nicholas. But my hashtag JRT, my random topic of the week, is that the best and worst NBA haircuts in NBA history NBA currently. This is a good one. We had a bit of fun with this one. We always have fun with the JRT, but what are we going to start with? The best or the worst, Nicholas?
It's always fun to start with the worst because there are some terrible, terrible haircuts out there.
Horrible. Horrific.
One that springs to mind, unfortunately, he's an Aussie, Aaron Baines for the Pistons.
Oh, God. Describe it, Nicholas.
It's completely shaved, like bald, completely shaved, apart from the top where he's got like a little top knot thing.
Yeah, it's like it makes me sick.
The top knot itself isn't terrible, but don't shave the rest of your hair. And it looks he looks like a trash bag.
He does. And I mean, Nick, you can't hate on top knots. You have one of the worst top knots I've ever seen in the history.
Yeah, for a while, but I didn't shave didn't shave the sides now, did I?
That is true. That's the only good thing you have going on.
Disgusting. Watching him this season, he's got like the face mask and the shit hair. He's just a shit looking dude.
He is a shit looking dude. And speaking of shit looking dudes, we got the Birdman. The Birdman, he's had some wild, wild hairstyles to go with his wild, wild tattoos and his wild, wild attitude. And maybe he's from the Wild, Wild West. I don't know. I've said wild a lot. How many times have I said wild?
Playtime.
But yeah, the Birdman, like his hair looks like, I remember there was a time where he made his hair look like wings and shit. And I'm like, Birdman.
He's embracing the Birdman.
You're not actually a bird, though.
Maybe he thinks he is.
It wouldn't surprise me because there's not a lot. I feel like there's not a lot going up there on, you know, upstairs for the Birdman. but there's been another really, really. Speaking of like ugly players, Joakim Noah. Oh my God, he's an ugly person. And his hair is just like personifies his ugliness. Do you agree? Disagree?
See, I don't mind Joakim Noah's hair.
Really?
Like, I don't mind the bun, I guess. Like the long hair. Like Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams is he's all man. Like he's a Kiwi. Stephen Adams is a cult figure of the NBA. He's become one of my favorite players. Mm. And like to go with that ridiculously. He may have not only the best mustache in the NBA, but the best mustache I've seen since Chuck Norris. Like, it is glorious. He is a glorious man.
It is.
That is the perfect.
He is a glorious looking man, and he is everything that I want to be.
Yeah, I agree.
He is all man.
I want to be Steph Curry. He is all man. More all man than LeBron James.
Yeah. Friggin'. Boy, Steven Adams would destroy LeBron James, even in the all-man area. You know, he's freaking 7 foot.
You mean penises?
Yes.
But LeBron is an African-American man, and he has that going for him, doesn't he? No,
that's called profiling, Jack, and I don't do it.
We should not. We're talking about haircuts, and we're talking about penises now. All right,
well, we're talking about haircuts, and another one that comes to mind, mate, is Dennis Schroeder.
You got these blotches, and
I hate it. It wouldn't be so bad if he didn't like bleach stars in the back of his head.
You know what? But you know what? It wouldn't be worse as well if he wasn't German. Like if he wasn't German.
That is so true.
But he's also, like, his haircut reminds me of, you remember Chaz when he was, like, 17 and he was doing that Julian Casablancas haircut and he had blotches of blonde in his hair?
Yeah.
He was an ugly mong. He still is an ugly mong. And no wonder you two are best friends, you ugly mongs. Oh, God.
Who's got some
good NBA? Well, I'm his brother.
Related to it.
But I look better than him. Who's got some good NBA hair, Nicholas? Let's go to some nicer NBA hair.
Well, we were talking about Steven Adams before, the luscious locks that he has.
Luscious long locks. Luscious long New Zealand locks.
Yes.
Gordon Hayward.
I think that's unanimous. I believe that he has the best hair in the NBA. It's just perfectly sculpted. It looks like a Ken doll's hair.
Yeah. Yeah,
every single strand has been placed perfectly, and
the haircut god.
Yeah,
if I could have that hair, I would pay millions of dollars. I would sell my left nut to have Gordon Hayward's hair. It is just, it's breathtaking, Nicholas.
Mate, that's a lot of commitment for hair.
Have you seen his hair?
Yes, it is magnificent. Like I said, it's just perfectly sculpted. You know, he plays 40 minutes of basketball and he comes off into the tunnel and it's just nothing's changed.
He's a sexy man. He's a sexy,
does he sweat?
He, well, like, we both sweat quite a bit and our hair gets
Mate,
a bit
I'm dripping
stuff,
right but... now.
Well, how hot is it Australian back in Australia?
Oh, it's about 30 degrees at the moment.
Yeah, well, right now it's like midnight over here. Well, sorry, 1 a.m. and it's like 3 degrees, and I'm like rugged up in my hoodie, and I want to get into bed. But I love talking about haircuts and sexy men with you, Nicholas. I could do it all night.
And with that, we're going to take a break. on the other side of that, we'll look at the ever popular social media segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. And we will get started here into our social media segment. A segment very dear to me and Jack's hearts. It's where we listen to the people out there, you peasants.
Stop calling them peasants, Nick. Fucking
hell. Well, where you get in contact with us regarding anything. It can be regarding anything. You can hit us up at #JBTPod. On Twitter at JBTPodcast or Facebook.com/JBTPodcast or on the email as well, JBTPodcast@gmail.com. But we had Fleeting hitting us up on Twitter again. And I think this social media superstar has brought in a lot of posts.
Volume.
Like the volume of posts that we've been getting this week is crazy. Fleeting saying quantity over quality will win this week's social media superstar. Also, Jack is cool. #Hashtag please pick me. I think he's trying to buddy you up there, Jack. My he tweet is. Volume keeping your social media segment alive and still not #Hashtag social media superstar. #Hashtag rigged. Mate, now he's spitting fire.
He's spitting fire.
He's also mentioned Jack's the whitest guy under the sun, but Nick is the whitest host. #Ball logic.
True.
I actually do believe that is exactly how it works.
Yep.
And a bit of a suggestion from Fleeting. All these requested team talks coming at the cost of not talking about OKC. Not okay. Well, yep. Mate, if OKC actually were playing some decent basketball, maybe we'd be talking about them. It's not just Russell Westbrook.
True, but then we
had Andrew Busink on Facebook commenting, I like the way that at Fleeting 54 guy thinks, hashtag keyboard warrior. So there you go. That's just proved they're two different people.
Well, that just proved that he's like Mr. Snrub. He Mr. comes from somewhere Snrub. Far away. God.
Yes, that'll work.
Get off it, A-Rod. Get off it, A-Rod.
I like the way right, Snrub thinks.
I do as well. But let's move on to someone else who hit us up. My lovely Mrs. Alione hit us up a couple of times. One of the posts, at Nick, so this is directed towards you, just FYI, to make a counterpoint against your hashtag DBS dish. I can confirm that Jack has indeed been with a woman. Hashtag JBT pod, hashtag facts. Hashtag, I wish I could block this post from the Manuel family. A lot of hashtags there.
But what was the best thing about that post was that Jason Pham tagged your mum. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And then Ali also responded to that. I will no longer accept your status as social media star. You don't deserve that honor. Ooh. There's some fire happening, Nicholas. I like this. We're getting the people fighting. Ooh, I like this. Ali also posted, she's requested a DBS, but we might take a look at next week because I like the look of this one. She's a bit of a college ball fan. Hashtag DBS of the best all-time former Duke power forwards. We've got Shane Battier, Elton Brand, and Grant Hill. We'll discuss that next week for you, my lovely Alley-oop. And then she's also gone a bit political. Ali, let's keep things a bit chill here, mate. All right? Might have to pull a Drake and jump on the Milwaukee, Memphis, and Dallas bandwagons for this. She posted an article where it was purported that those three NBA teams that I just mentioned are boycotting Trump hotels. Hashtag Donald 2020, as in Donald Glover instead of Donald Trump. But I'm trying to get through these quickly because I don't know. But her best, this was, oh my God. How good, you saw this post, didn't you, Nicholas?
I did. I'm the one who commented on it.
It was phenomenal. So she, while I think we were actually speaking about the social media superstar, she was looking up a quote to elevate her status. And she's like, direct quote from Irving's and Thompson's pick and roll last night. So for those who didn't see it, Irving and Thompson had a really nice pick and roll that which finished with a Thompson alley-oop. And she has posted a screenshot of none other than the GOAT, Bill Murray, and him saying, perhaps I could be of some assistance. And Nicholas, how did you respond to that one?
Da 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 da.
Perfect, Ali. I didn't think I could love you anymore until you posted that post, but I love you more and more each day.
All Who right, mate. On our... Stop getting sappy.
I like her. She does things.
We had Fambam on hitting Top us six. Up on Facebook as well. Just your social media MVP checking in, mate. It's social media superstar. Just for that, you're not getting it.
Oh, hey, it's my pick, mate. I pick it.
Well, yeah, I guess I have no sway. Jason Pham also commenting. A nice little question here. If the season were to end right now, who is your NBA, all-NBA first team? Jack?
All right, I got, just quickly, yep, I'll go. Point guard, Bam Bam. I got Russell Westbrook, shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan, small forward, LeBron James. Power forward, Anthony Davis, and at center, DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie. Who you got, Nick?
Well, I think my love for James Harden can't be overstated. So I had him at my point guard. I had shooting guard DeMar DeRozan. I think it's hard for him to be contested right now. Small forward, LeBron James. I went a bit left field with power forward and center. I've put Anthony Davis as my center because he does play that primarily... for the Pelicans, and I had Blake Griffin as my power forward. Magas will be frothing that one.
True that.
But yeah, we had Adrian Formato as well commenting, posting on our Facebook page. James Harden be cooking. I believe that was during his triple-double game. And I've replied, a non-Lakers related post. Who are you? And it was so strange.
I know. He's,
I think he...
his diversity.
He took heed to our words last week. And,
he definitely did. He definitely did.
Because he's done another one. It should be illegal for Curry to shoot the ball. And I've commented, Formato 2020. Mate, we will get you in the Democratic...
Get him in the White House.
In the Democratic seat for that election, and you can make it illegal for Curry to shoot the ball. Let's start a movement. Formato 2020.
Formato 2020. Then we had him also post an Andrew Wiggins, your future all-star, hashtag stroking it. That's a bit inappropriate for the young boys and girls out there, Adrian, because, you know, Nicholas posted back, and again, with something sexual. 21-year-old lad, always on the road. He's got a lot of stroking practice.
Well, mate, 47 points. He's got a lot of stroking practice.
Yes,
and I mean, like, shooting, of course. That's what I mean.
Of course you do. And Stelios replying as well. Tans and Wiggins with the my favorite emoji symbol, the three fingers up and the okay sign. Yeah, they're killing it, Tans and Wiggins. Couldn't have said it better. Stelios. Mag has also jumped on the Facebook page with his Clippers bandwagon bullshit. How about the plus minus scores of the first all NBA, the all hashtag all NBA first team? Not even going to discuss that because it was against the Nets.
They destroyed you.
Shut up.
That was impressive plus minus.
Yes, who cares about their plus minus? Stelios also jumped on Cavs on a mission, hashtag championship team. Couldn't agree more, mate. I reckon, Stelios, you're on the right track there. I reckon they're definitely a championship team.
Mm.
Kieran William, your mate, and my mate, because he's provided some very good content for today's podcast. Whiteside doesn't get a mention for Team of the Week. 20 points, 20 boards, 3 blocks against Chicago. Hashtag, where is the love?
Agree more with this. And this is, and I mentioned you in the comment because that's on you. You're the one who picked the centers from last week. You get a 2020 game with 3 blocks. You didn't make an honorable mention.
And
he's stiff-armed there.
Yeah, but you're supposed to help me out with some of the stats as well, Nick. Like, I did pretty much all of the Knicks picks this week.
Love your work, Kieran.
I agree. Love your work, Kieran, as well. But the moment all of you have been waiting for, the social media superstar. We had a few to choose from this week, Nick.
Jeez, tell me
about
it.
Not just one or two.
I haven't been this involved in social media ever.
Well, that's good. At the number 8 spot, Andrew Buzink. Keyboard warrior, you are that. That's why you're number 8. Number 7, Kieran Williams. No reason. You just get a bit more volume, Kieran, and I reckon you'll see yourself up in that top 5 soon enough. Maggers at number 6 for the plus-minus Lakers comment. Don't care, mate. Just get off the Clippers bandwagon. Stelios providing some nice interaction with us, giving us some good content. I like it. His basketball knowledge is quite useful for our social media segment. Adrian Formato, he's heeded our advice, like we said, Nicholas, at number 4.
Bit of diversity there, good on him.
But to get into that top 3, Adrian, let me give you some advice, and I think Nick would agree with me in this. Get a bit more creative if you can, mate, rather than just commentating games. See if you can post some memes or something a bit witty and funny. What do you reckon, Nick?
Definitely. Our social media section thrives off, you know, throwing a bit of discussion points our way, so yeah.
Get the bands going. Now, the top 3. Nick, give me another drum roll.
Oh, God. Do I have to? I'm horrible.
Number 3, Jason Pham. Quality bands this week, Pham Bam. Quality bands, mate. But not enough for that top 2 position. Number 2. Fleeting 54.
You're acknowledging that they're two different people.
I'm acknowledging that the social media section, he's posting on Twitter, whereas Andrew's posting on Facebook. So Fleeting, you're getting in the top 2, mate. Good on you. But this isn't biased, but purely for that amazing, out of this world Bill Murray post. Number 1 goes to Miss Alicia Owen. Ali, top-notch love. Keep it up. Moving on, Nick.
Definitely rigged.
It's not rigged. Who
hashtag
would you
rigged. I'm with Fleeting here. Hashtag rigged.
Well, what? Hashtag rigged. You just want your brother there. That would be hashtag rigged as well. This is my section. Stop stealing my... Like, you get Nick's picks. You get a heap of segments. Give me one, all right? Let me have fucking the SMS of the week, the social media superstar.
All right.
Yeah, bum.
Most anticipated fixtures for this week, Jack?
All right. Let me get into them, Nicky boy. So we've got a lot of... A decent amount of games this week. Most anticipated fixture we've got. Golden State at Milwaukee, November 20. Chicago at Clippers, November 20. Boston at Minnesota, November 22. OKC at Lakers, November 23. Portland at Cleveland, November 24. That'll be a nice one. Lakers at Golden State. Let's see if Golden State can avenge that huge loss at home. But my game of the week is the Toronto Raptors visiting the LA Clippers at Staples Center, November 22. Check your local guides. Nicky boy, we're going to read out some of our customer reviews that we got on iTunes, mate. Like, we're really getting on this.
Yeah, and it's we've got a bit of a goal. We want to hit 30?
30. Yeah.
We want to hit 30 reviews by the end of the month.
Not end of the month.
End of the year, I'll say.
End of the year. Yeah, end of the year. And we've got 9 or 10 so far, which is amazing. And thank you to every single person that's done it. Like, we cannot thank you enough. And if you do it, or you tell someone, even if they've got just a random account, if they can just give us a 5-star rating and, like, you're with your friend on a laptop, please, please, please do it. It's really important to us in getting the podcast out there, because we know you guys love it and we want to share it and spread it as much as we can. So what's the first review we got there, Nicky boy? This Nick's...
Well,
his
someone
name?
Named Nick, commented on the... wrote a review for us. Sick Aussie Bants. I don't know who that is, but I like the way he thinks.
His name is Nick. It's you.
No confirmation there.
Great
man. Jacques Manuel.
Great
man. These lads are serious competitors to the starters. I hate that Nick guy, though. Jeez, Jack.
Who doesn't?
That's even got your name there. Like, you can't even escape that.
You can't confirm that my name is Jacques.
Jacques Manuel.
There is no proof of that. Like, everyone knows me as Jack. Who's Jacques? Jacques could be my French cousin that is living in Paris and he's listening to the podcast. Who knows, mate? Who knows?
But yeah, we're just receiving a lot of love from our customer reviews, and it's great because, you know, it helps other people find it, and that's the main thing, isn't
Absolutely.
It? But yeah. We'll move on, Jack. To our final section, DBS.
We've got to read out all of them, mate. We've got 9 reviews. I'm going to speed through them, okay? We've got Tara S. Oz has given us a 5-star review. Thank you, sir or madam, whoever you are. Hamish and Andy have a competitor. Damn. Nick, are we as good as Hamish and Andy?
We are much better. Obviously.
We are way better. Absolutely. Hashtag Hamish and Andy, move over. We've got one from Deborah Nays. Oh, I wonder who that is. Solid podcast week after week. Love the banter. Well done, lads. Thank you, Deborah Nays. My son Jack is great guy. Nick is a flog. Who is this Deborah Nays? I couldn't agree with her more, though. She's
I'm getting a lot of hate on these in these comments.
Well, maybe you need to get your mum to do a review for you.
I don't even know what iTunes is.
All right. Well, then, okay, let's see what your brother said. Amen, pod. Refreshingly laid-back layout gives this cast a very home-style feel. You can just picture yourself amongst the conversation as the host guide you through all the week's NBA news, as well as poking fun at everything, from the players to themselves. Thanks, Amen Pod.
That's a very professional review there.
I appreciate the professional ones as well. We've got Prox1M1TY.
Clearly says proximity.
Yeah, but it says Prox1M1TY. Who is proximity?
Do you know
who it is?
No.
Yeah, that's. I actually don't know who that is.
Identify yourself.
It might be Meg. Proximity. Please identify yourself, because we want to know who you are so we can, you know, send you some love. Nick will come to your house and send you some peanuts. I don't know. But he said, have loved each episode. These guys love paying out on each other. Pity about the teams they follow, but solid nonetheless. I rate it. Actually, I might know who this is. Might be my friend. My friend from work. But we've also got Grutabum Gravy, 5 stars. What? Who's that? Who the hell's Grutabum?
I don't know, but he likes his gravy.
Gravy indeed. Loading my gravy. Have we spoken about gravy? Do you like gravy, Nick?
I think that's a conversation for another time, mate. Because I could literally go on for about half an hour on gravy.
All right. We've got our last one as well by hashtag chopsticks.
I wonder who that is.
Thank you very much, Jason Pham. Move over, Jalen and Jacoby. There is a new dynamic duo on the air. Thank you, sir. And I've said a million times, I apologize for that chopsticks remark. I did not make it. It was Nick and his race, my racist brother. Nick, give the people what they want. Let's move on to the favorite segment, my favorite segment, your favorite segment, the peasants, as you like to call them, their favorite segment. What do we got, mate?
All right, we got DBS this week for those that are new. DBS stands for Drop Bench Start. So essentially we give you three players' names and we'll decide whether we want to drop one, bench one, and, well, who to drop, who to bench, and who to start. So the three players we've got, this week, bit of a quirky one. We've got Bill Murray, the Red Monster, and obviously this is all in light of the 20th or 25th anniversary.
Yep. 20th or 20th. Yeah, I think it's a 20th.
It's one of them. Anniversary of Space Jam, the greatest movie ever made. Anyway, Bill Murray, the Red Monster, and Nick Busink. I don't know how I managed to get into this DBS, but Jack, what have you got?
Let's end the conversation about you, Nicholas. We both dropped you. You're dropped. Like, you do not compare.
Yeah.
You are one, you're horrible. Like, just a horrible human being. And you're horrible in comparison to these two as well. So, like, do we need to talk about you?
No, I guess not.
Okay.
I hate myself.
I hope your self-esteem is at a sky high right now.
Oh, yeah.
I dropped Nicholas Busink. What's your middle name? Nicholas
Joseph.
Stephanie? Nicholas Joseph. NJ. I want to call you NJ from now on.
I like it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll call NJ and the J-Man. NJ, I dropped you. But Benchin, the Red Monster. It was tough. The Red Monster, i.e. Muggsy Bogues, he's got mad handles. He's got some sick handles.
Mate.
Sick handles. And, like, he's very crafty on the basket, but he'd get in some decent foul trouble. Would he not?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, you can't go ahead and, like, start fights with people. It depends what court you're playing on, NBA or Looney Tunes court, you know.
And it depends on who the referee is. If the referee is Marvin the Martian, he's a bit more lenient than say.
Well, I'd say Marvin the Martian picks up on more stuff than NBA refs. Heyo.
Marvin, not so subtle. Hashtag Marvin for NBA Refereeing Association. But yeah, the Red Monster, he'd get in way too much foul trouble. I think coming off the bench, though, he'd be a good force. He'd provide some real energy because he doesn't shut up. If you know, he doesn't even know how to spell his team name, Nicholas. It's Monstars. Monstar, Muggsy, or Red Monster, or whatever your name is, Red Monster. But of course, you cannot deny starting the man, the goat of life, the goat of basketball, the goat of film, the goat of cinema, the goat of television, the goat of SNL, the goat of everything that is good on this earth, Bill Murray. How can you not start him, Nicholas?
The man, like, can dish dimes.
He drops dimes like there's no tomorrow. He may not play defense, but he can drop them dimes.
Well, that's what you don't want. I mean, I've benched Bill Murray, and it was very hard for me to do this. You know, he's a character.
You bench Bill Murray.
He's a character, mate. And your starter can't not play defense. Whoa.
You don't do defense. But, like, as long as you steal it off the orange guy, get it to Bugs, get it to the girl bunny, and get it to MJ, and he'll get to the hole and dominate. Like, that's all you're going
to
do.
Get to the hole and dominate.
And dominate.
God, it's brilliant. But essentially, you are comparing an actor to a alien with exacerbated skills of a professional basketball player.
To you.
I'm just going to say that again. Well. You're comparing, in terms of like in basketball ability, an actor to an inflated Muggsy Bogues. And you're
correct.
Benching the inflated Muggsy Bogues.
Correct.
Okay.
Why so
this,
I?
This, no, no. I agree with the foul so trouble. Start... I mean, six fouls is not enough. You know, he's going to be whacking people that. Left, right, and center. But at the end of the day, he can probably get to one end of the court in three steps.
That is true. He is quite quick. He's got some speed, a bit like, you know, the Tasmanian Devil.
Yep.
But
yep.
Bill Murray drops dimes, and MJ himself has said that he could be an NBA force. Has he said that about the Red Monster?
Well, Larry Bird also said that he can't jump.
Larry Bird didn't see his performance in Looney Tunes land. Like, if Larry Bird, and we saw it, Nicholas, we witnessed it in Space Jam. He is good enough to be next to the GOAT, MJ, he is good enough to start on our DBS.
Yeah,
case closed, mate.
No. Yeah. Not convinced. But with that, I think we're heading off now. I think we've gone a bit overtime here, Jack. It's been a bit of a long podcast.
We always do, pretty much as usual.
But just as ever, guys. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast.
Nick, let me stop you right there. How many hashtags did we get?
Mate, I think it was about 7 billion.
We said 7,000 before.
We had 7,000 at the half, and we've just gone, you know, my maths is escaping me. A lot more.
So we got 699,900,000 and 93,000 hashtags. Is that correct?
Approximately, yes. You know, give or take.
give or take, one or two.
But yeah, I shall continue. Let me stop you right there, Jack. Let me continue.
Hey.
You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help other people find us to add to the conversation. And it'll help us reach our goal of 30 rates and reviews by the end of the year. So, yeah, just rate and review, please. That's all I'll say on the section. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast or also through email at jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week, keep balling, superstars.
One more hashtag KBS.